Frank's Red Hot is the perfect blend of flavor and heat, so you can use an entire bottle to make recipes like buffalo chicken dip or buffalo nachos, or even things that don't start with buffalo. Frank's Red Hot. I put that shit on everything.
Hey, Craig.
Hey Jeff, we are back. I have no idea how long it's been.
Well, right now we're on about an every 3 week schedule.
Feels right.
That's the cadence we're on at the moment.
You know, it feels like summer. So you know, yeah. It's all I want to do is sit outside on the porch.
I know.
Because it is too hot in my house. Yeah, I got a new job, and there was a couple of weeks in particular where I was they did not start me off slowly. they're like, you are qualified for this job, and you are going to do this job. Screw orientation.
Feels good and is also like sort of like very anxiety ridden, right? Like you're like, oh, they trust me, and then you're like, oh shit, they trust me.
Oh god, they trust me. Yeah. Oh no.
I better live up to that.
Well, yeah, before we get too far, I guess we can say who we both are. I'm Craig Powers. This is Podcast Versus Everyone, episode 122. I can't believe we made it that far. And with me for all 122 episodes has been Jeff Neusser.
Hello.
Hello. So Jeff, we have a unique kind of start to the show tonight.
yeah, we do.
You and I were being a little lazy about coming up with topics, so we just went on Twitter, and asked people to give us topics. So I just want to like kick right into that. Like, let's just get into it. This is our first ever like mailbag type episode. It's not really a mailbag. Yep. All these suggestions came from like an hour ago.
Honest, like I, one of my favorite podcasts, and I know you listen to it too, is Nos Audietis, the Sounders podcast. And, they do mailbag questions every episode. And it's like, it takes up about 2/3 of their episode, honestly.
Nice.
Half to 2/3 is the questions. And I love it. And it's like one of like the best things that they do. And I'm like, why don't we do that more?
It's because we're too elitist. They couldn't possibly
that's where the
come
idea
up with a better
came
topic
from
than
tonight,
us.
Yeah. I mean, well, normally there's so much to talk about, right? And for them, it's like, you know, they've got a game a week or two games in a week for basically like 9 months. So it's like, you know, what else? You know, at some point you get tired of talking about the games. We've had, you know, so many different, you know, sports and seasons to talk about, things like that. It's like, you know, and then last year even we sort of joked about how we thought we were going to have to do this sort of thing all through the summer, and then there was like plenty of news like all summer long. And even the, you know, the year before that when we started, like, so yeah, it's kind of, yeah, it's wild. It's, you know, we finally made it to a point where Cougar Sports have actually like stopped. Like there's just not much going on. So
yeah, they pretty much have I think everything's officially done at this point.
I think there might be, is there a track? Is track still going?
Oh, track is still going.
The NCAA championships are still coming. But rowing finished over the weekend, baseball finished over the weekend, so
I think tennis is done.
Yeah, I think so. I think they finished a while back.
Yeah.
So
yeah, let's hit right into it. One of our old friends, our SB Nation brethren from back in the day, Speaking of Nos Adietis and the Sounder at Heart blog, Dave Clark came in with a question. I mean, obviously he said, why am I not there? Which he asks us a lot. Yeah. But we'll have you on someday, Dave. We'll have a soccer episode. Yeah. But he asked about Trinity Rodman's NWSL start.
Yeah.
So I'll say this, like, we could have went to the rain match because I had tickets to that and we had tickets to Sounders and we chose to go to the Sounders. So we missed, like, we could have watched Trinity Rodman play on Sunday in person. So I feel kind of dumb, especially considering that Sounders match was boring. But we did get to hang out with Preston and Sammy before the match. Great. So that was kind of like why you used to like going to sports games is to hang out with your buds.
I mean, who knew?
Yeah, I mean, who knew getting some beers at the Flatstick before with some friends?
I got home. I got home and everybody's like, "Oh, did you have a good time?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I had an awesome time." Did the Sounders win? No, that was like the worst game I've ever seen.
Well, the
worst game I've ever seen that we didn't lose. Like that's sort of like the qualifier. But everything else about it was awesome. You know, like seeing friends and having beers and doing all that stuff. And I know it's only a matter of time before our friend Dave is back there with us. So.
Yeah. And so Trinity Rodman, she has been primarily used as a second half sub. She did. I think she has started one. She started. She has used started three matches. Just to shut up. She was used as a second half sub in the Challenge Cup, but she has been used as a starter in the NWSL games until the last one because she had had a knock in the last match. So I think they were just limiting her minutes a bit. But yeah, she has been making me long for or making me hate COVID even more.
as if that was possible.
She, in one of the best professional leagues in the world, is holding her own. And she, she came out. She hasn't scored a goal in the regular season, but she definitely scored at least one and an assist in the Challenge Cup. And then she's got an assist already in the regular season. So if you're not familiar with NWSL, before the season started, ran a preseason tournament, which we don't want to talk about. Morgan Weaver won.
We can talk about that.
Don't worry about the team. She won. But Trinity Rodman showed out in that, and then she's just become a regular at the age of just having turned 19 like 2 weeks ago. Really impressive. She's the youngest player in the history of the league. And she's already showing that she's good, proving that she would have been really good at Wazoo.
Yeah.
Like take us back deep into the NCAA tournament. Good again. It's really cool to see her do that. And, she's a kook to me forever. And, she's got that pace that you would, that was advertised. She's definitely a forward that, you know, can beat her man down the field on a long ball. She's also skilled. She is every bit as advertised. Very good. And, I feel like an idiot. I'm of two minds here. Loved hanging out with Michael and Sammy. Bummed that I missed Trinity Rodman. And also Rose Lavelle's debut as well.
Yes.
Whatever. We'll see her again. And it'll be good.
Well, it's, you know, that there aren't that many teams in the NWSL. So you play each other quite a bit. So there will be more chances to see Trinity Rodman. It's not going to be long before she's featuring in the, you know, women's national team,
really
the Olympics.
A position they don't need at the moment, but they're going to need, they needed someone to step in at the attacking positions. Obviously Rapinoe's 37 and Alex Morgan's not getting any younger, and You know, so they definitely need that, and she's going to come in and be a dominant force in international soccer for a long time, it looks like.
Yep, and even though I don't know, even if she didn't ever play a minute for Washington State, let's hope that everything says she's from Washington. She went to Washington State, so
because she did.
She did. She was a student.
She lived in Pullman.
It counts.
She went.
She didn't just live. She was a student. She was like, I mean, she, you know, she was a student athlete, Craig.
She used the facilities.
That's right. I'm sure she went to the bathroom there at least once or twice. So,
thank you. I set you up for that one. All right. You, okay. You pick.
Yeah.
Your turn. You pick a question all right, my from turn. Our list here.
All right. So this one's from Mobub9, either Matt Blizzard or Matt Blizzard, or I'm not sure.
Blysard. Maybe the L, I, and S are silent and it's Matt Bard.
Could be. It's possible. All right. So Matt asks, it's not really a question. It's more just a statement of 8 p.m. kickoff. Really? So that's in reference to, so that's something that's happened since we last recorded, which is the kickoff times being announced for the first handful of games. And the first game of the year, 8 p.m. Pac-12 Network kickoff against Utah State. How excited are you, Craig?
Yeah, you know, I was really planning on taking my daughter to that one, but I don't think that's happening.
And you and I, by the way, both have the same sort of philosophy about children, which is we just drag them along and we just deal. And the kids will be fine and they'll be all right. And they might be fussy or cry or whatever. But, you know, it's just, it is what it is, right? Like if you want to live life, you take your kids with you. But that's maybe, I'm with you. I think that's a bridge too far to take a toddler to an 8 p.m. kickoff.
Yeah, 11:30 finish to that game.
Maybe. I mean, sometimes these games tilt, you know, closer to 4 hours, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you're guaranteed to be 3, 3.5. I mean, this could very easily be pushing up against midnight, right?
So, yeah, we've seen 7, 7:30, 7:45. Now we've got an 8, really pushing it. You know, it's those early season games when none of the teams are playing each other. So the Pac-12 network has got to fit 12 games, you know, Pac-12 network and their partners, you know, Fox and ESPN and everything have to fit 12 games into the schedule.
Yep.
And that's when you get pushed to 8 p.m., which actually, you know, like a decent for an early season matchup, but for a first weekend matchup is not it's a pretty decent matchup. You know, you have a what's been a traditionally solid Mountain West program, at least recently, and then a Pac-12 school. So, it kind of sucks. I saw you kind of allude to it. Like, we don't need any weirdness playing Utah State. We should be able to beat them, but like the margins aren't that big. Like,
yeah, Jamie Vinnick goes, "Let's get weird," and I'm like, "Weirdness is the last thing I want in this game." Like, I just want, please, let's pick up our win, and you know, I'd be perfectly happy with a nice, you know, like 27-14, comfortable, you know, victory. I'd be all right with that. I will say this though, Matt, the second half of Matt's tweet was meetup tailgate ? And you know, to be honest, that 8 p.m. kickoff might actually be perfect for that sort of thing. We'll have to maybe think about that. Cause that's like, because with the 8 p.m., you know, you're not going to have kids. Right. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of time to kind of hang out and do different things during the day. So, yeah, we might have to think about that. We might have to think. And plus, the weather's probably going to be spectacular. It usually is on that first weekend.
Except for that one weekend.
Well, except for the one. That is true. That is true. But usually the weather is really good. And so, you know, it could make for a nice, you know, a nice long day of hanging out and having drinks and doing all sorts of fun stuff.
8 p.m. kickoff, you can legit just get lunch anywhere you want, and you still can get 7 hours of tailgating in.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I would say like for a normal amount of tailgating, you might start tailgating at like 4 or 5, right? For an 8 o'clock kickoff. So I don't know. But then, you know, but there will be people out there. I mean, I'm sure Sherwood will be out there for, you know, 12 hours hanging out, doing his thing. Although he may drive over the day of. I don't know. We'll have to see about that. But
yeah, I already have, you know, Friday night, Saturday night booked, so.
You know, perfect.
I'm gonna have a nice long day in the Palouse. Yeah.
They are making up for it though with the next two game times, so mm-hmm. you know it, which is actually like really nice because normally it seems like we just get screwed all over the place, right? But you know, the following week we got a 3 p.m. kickoff against Portland State. That's a great kickoff time, right? I mean, that's right in the ballpark of the ideal. Like when I was in school, the 2 o'clock kickoff time. Was yeah. like the preferred perfect
that was just
time.
That was just what it was if the game wasn't on TV.
Right. If it wasn't on TV, it was 2 o'clock and it was perfect.
That was when I was in school too, actually. Okay. We didn't have every game on TV in 2004 either, 2003. Yeah.
So 3 o'clock, awfully close to that. That's great. And then the following week, USC 12:30 national broadcast on Big Fox.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
Is really cool. That is going to be very, very, very cool. And I have a feeling the atmosphere, I mean, provided something wacky doesn't happen the first 2 weeks, I have a feeling the atmosphere is going to be pretty awesome. Going to be pretty awesome. So
yeah, I know that Amanda can't go to that one cause she's got like a family reunion type thing. And so mm-hmm. I'm definitely alone for USC, but the 3 o'clock time is perfect to take fam to.
Yes.
But Amanda's always like, she wants to go to like one, maybe two. I can like drag her to maybe a second game a year. She just doesn't like driving that far, you know, whatever. And she always, though, does not want to like, if she's going to one game, she does not want to go to like the FCS game. Or yeah. She wants to see, well, she's seen the Beavers a couple times. She's seen us destroy Oregon State, so she likes that. But so like, that's the thing. It's like, oh, that's a perfect one to take the family to. But she's going to be like, oh, it's Portland State? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, could be a good game.
You know? It might be. We don't know right now. We have no idea. Could be.
I mean, if it's a good game... In our eyes, you're going to win by 8 touchdowns, but
yeah,
you know, we never
it could
take
it
that
could
for
fit
granted.
A couple of definitions of good game. So
I'm just excited. So this is since we're already talking about the football games, I'm going to skip ahead in the questions, and we can come back to
yeah.
some of the other ones.
Okay, cool.
But you know, we have our friend Brian Logan Brian Logan 627 on Twitter. He sent a couple. We'll start with this one. Likelihood of a fully vaccinated section in Martin this fall. I'm going to go 100%. 100% likelihood that we're going to have a fully vaccinated. And maybe a full stadium in the fall.
I will be actually surprised if it's not just a full open stadium. I mean, the Sounders are already going full capacity in their lower bowl. Now, granted, right now you have to be vaccinated to sit down there, right? So that came out today. Like, okay, so everybody has season tickets, which includes you and me, can sit in their regular seats if they're vaccinated. If they're not vaccinated, or if they just don't feel comfortable with that, you can either opt to bank the credit for your tickets or sit in a socially distanced area up in the 300 level. Okay, so this is end of June. And the governor, as far as I know, is targeting the end of June for like full reopening.
Full, right? June 30th, yeah.
June 30th. Now, I think that's predicated, if I remember right, that's predicated on like 70% vaccination or something.
70% right? The first, you have to at least the first, I think.
Yeah, so 70% first shot. I don't know where we're at on that. I'm not even honestly paying attention to it. But what I'm just sort of like logically thinking is, you know, if we're targeting that sort of thing for the end of June, I mean, you're talking 2 months later, September 4th. I think probably they're going to go outdoor events are fine, fully open. You know, we've reached a vaccination threshold, blah, 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 blah. I honestly think that it's going to be so I don't think there's going to be a vaccinated section. I think it's just going to be open, to be honest.
And since I know Brian's listening, I'm just going to remind him that we'll have that full stadium. And after the first quarter ends, they'll play back home. And we'll all cry while singing. Cry while singing it at full throat. And you're not going to be there. Because I know you're not going to be there, Brian. I know you're not going to be there. You made other plans. I just want to remind you that you're not going to be there.
Poor guy.
To the first game back with fans at Martin Stadium in almost 2 years. But, hey, I know you're a big fan. You'll be at every other game. You just make these plans every Labor Day, and that's what you do. But that's just what you had to do.
Priorities, man. Priorities.
But, yeah, I think I'm ready for it. Full stadium.
Yeah. And I think it will be. I really do. And yeah. It's going to be exciting, and I'm already like getting, you know, jazzed up for the full Sounders Stadium experience, taking our seats over there by the ECS and just kind of feeling that whole vibe. I mean, I got a little teary eyed watching the ECS when we were sitting up in the upper deck. You know, I was kind of looking down, going, oh yeah, you know. So I can't wait to be back in a full stadium with people just, you know, going bonkers and.
Tuesday night, I think, is the first one. Tuesday night, right?
Yeah. So I'm like, I am all about it. I'm gonna feel the same way in Pullman, probably worse, better. I don't know which word to use there. But the emotions will be, I'm sure, even more intense. And especially as you said, you know, like when back home starts and we're all just a giant puddle, you know, it's gonna be awesome. I'm excited. We're there.
Da, 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 da. All right.
That's right.
Your turn, Jeff.
My turn. All right. So the next one, let's see. Okay, so do we want to go to the basketball question next?
Might be a long answer.
Okay, so let's do the basketball question next. Okay. So looking at the newly released Pac-12 men's basketball. Oh, but gosh, I should probably say who the question came from. This is from at MPB3, which is Marcus Paul Burns. So thank you, Marcus. Looking at the newly released Pac-12 men's basketball schedule, I'm guessing we'll have to go at least 7-3 at home and 5-5 on the road, plus win 2 games in the tourney to be within sniffing distance of the NCAA tourney. 1, do you agree? 2, do you think this bunch can do that without Isaac Bonton? So let's tackle the first half first. Do you agree that a record of 12-8 plus a couple of wins in the Pac-12 tournament is probably what it's going to take to be within sniffing distance? Because I have my thoughts. Go ahead.
No, I don't think it's going to take that much.
I don't either. Yeah. I think that is a safely in kind of resume.
I think that's like a 6 seed. You know, a type look with that type of record.
Yep. 6 or 7. It's, you know, it's always tough to say because, you know, it all depends on who you beat, how you beat them, you know, that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it's, you know, speaking in generalities though, you know, if you're talking 12 Pac-12 wins, you know, plus, so if you're talking 12 Pac-12 wins, then you're probably like, I mean, you're talking, that's top half of the conference. You're probably fourth, maybe fifth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe third, depending on how it is. You're talking third, fourth, or fifth, something like that in the conference, probably. And then, so that means you're playing, you win a couple games. That means you probably pick up a win over somebody else who's in the top half of the conference after that second. So you've got a bye, and that's the sort of, that win then puts you into the championship of the Pac-12 tournament, right? That second win would.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, at that point you are safely, I think, in. I can't imagine a scenario where they would go 12-8 and win a couple of Pac-12 tournament games and not be well into the tournament. So I think that's the thing. So if we're talking about what is sort of sniffing distance bubble, I mean, I think then you're talking like,
well, we don't know the non-conference record schedule at all, and that matters a lot.
That does matter. It does matter.
If it's last year, then more wins will be needed, obviously.
Yes. So there's a little bit of assumptions, you know, that they don't do anything stupid in the non-conference and that their strength of schedule is, you know, at least mediocre, you know, that sort of thing.
Which,
so
mediocre would be a step up.
What it was last year.
I assume that they will try to do that, knowing that they have a team that could potentially get to the tournament. They're going to play some tougher teams in non-conference.
We know how smart this staff is. And so we know that they are, you know, as they continue to put their schedule together, they are crunching numbers like crazy to give themselves the best possible shot to make it to the tournament. So they're definitely not going to be flying blind. They're definitely not going to be just sort of guessing at what it's going to take. They're going to know, okay, we need to do this. And this is our, I mean, I know they already did that. Like I know that for a fact that they already sort of crunched those sort of numbers with their non-conference schedule. I just know that this last year was just, you know, you just kind of had to take what you could get, you know, but I know that they already do that kind of number crunching. And so that they'll do that. And obviously they'll have to take, you know, some games against some terrible teams at home. But my guess is you'll probably see them in a pretty competitive, holiday tournament. That's my guess. You know, typically that's where a team like WSU can get, you know, can get some competitive games, because it's awfully tough, as we know, to get people to come to Pullman. So, you know, and who knows, maybe Gonzaga will play us.
That'd be fun.
Okay. Yeah, second part of the question then. Oh, so, go ahead. Sorry.
We'll say, plus there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams in the top 60 of Bart Torvik's projection right now. That means you're going to have a lot of chances in that schedule to get like either a tier two or a tier or quadrant one or a quadrant two win. So if it's on the road, it'd be a quadrant one win. If it's at home, it'll be a quadrant two win. Yep. So you're gonna think
like the Big Ten this year. It's gonna be kind of like that.
Maybe not quite that extreme, not so many top ten teams.
Well, part of it is they've got, you know, 26 teams in the Big Ten, right?
Yeah, I think it's 40 teams.
Okay, 40 teams. But, you know, yes. So, I mean, obviously fewer teams, but the proportion's going to be similar. I mean, you're going to have opportunities to play good teams most nights. And in general, that's actually usually a good thing for getting into the tournament. When your conference is recognized as strong. Yeah.
Especially with the new system, it plays to your benefit.
Yes. It plays to your benefit. You tend to get the benefit of the doubt, especially if, as we know, the conference is perceived as strong before the season starts. Like, that's really the key, right? You got to be perceived as strong before the season starts. It can't be reactive. So the one thing that is going to the Pac-12 is really going to benefit from that, all those runs deep in the tournament last year, is they are going to benefit from people being like, ooh, that's a damn good league. So so that will happen in a way that it didn't happen last year. And like I said, that, you know, the non-conference schedule is not going to have to be, you know, the strongest thing in the world. It just needs to be with a couple chances to pick up a couple decent wins.
One thing that might hurt is that they only, and you might see it as a positive, but I see it as kind of a negative, is they only get UCLA once.
Yes, that's true.
And UCLA is likely to be kind of the best, like the far and away highly rated team in the league.
Yep.
And so they're going to give you the best bang for your buck. Even if you lose close to them, it's going to be a positive outcome. And we're only getting one of those. So we only one chance at a win. And it's in UC, it's at Pauley Pavilion, where we never freaking win. So that's kind of a bummer. It's actually the only, they only get Arizona State once, which is fine. I don't know. They're projected to be solid. I'll see on that one.
I think we're both a little unconvinced by that. But they do have a bunch of highly rated recruits coming in, transfers, things like that.
Yeah.
No more Remy Martin. Yeah.
And who knows? It would be nice to get two shots at Oregon State. Oregon State could end up being better than they. You know, they Wayne Tinkle pulled it out last year, and maybe he'll figure it out again.
I don't know, man. I have a hard time imagining that, but
yeah, that was
it could happen.
Incredible. So I think, yeah, for me, if they get through a decent non-conference, they get a win or two that matters in their non-conference, and it all depends on the wins, right? Like, they got to get the wins that matter. They got to get some road wins in there. I think 5-5 on the road is what he said. If you do that, like if one of the wins is Oregon, one of the wins is Stanford, one of the wins is Arizona, you know, like if you get those. And, you know, if you're five road wins and four of them are Cal, Oregon State, Utah, UW,
right,
then maybe it's not as good. So, yeah, it all depends on how they play against those in those quadrant one, quadrant two games. Yeah, I think like 10 or 11 puts them on the bubble. 12 plus two wins. You add those two wins in the tournament.
That's a big difference. I think
they'd be solidly in. Yeah. 12, go out. If you get 12 wins and then go out in the first round, you might be sweating a little bit depending on what you've done.
Yeah.
But again, as we talk over and over again, these are moving goalposts. And you just literally, like, week to week during the season, you don't actually know what matters.
Yep.
Like there was a point before WSU beat Stanford that Stanford was looking like a tournament team last year. And then they lost, like, five games in a row, and they weren't.
They weren't close.
Yeah, they weren't even close. They were about as close as WSU, honestly. Like, it was, like, not – they weren't close. They were definitely closer than WSU. But they were basically in the same spot that WSU was.
Yep.
But, yeah, so we don't know. So, yeah, second part of the question.
Second part is, do you think that this bunch can do that without Isaac Bonton? And the answer is absolutely yes.
Yep. So we've talked about this before. You bring in Michael Flowers – probably maybe a more efficient Bonton on offense, maybe gives up a little bit on defense. But then you add in Tyrell Roberts offensively, you add in Kim Aiken offensively and defensively. Obviously you add in, Muhammad Gay to add in depth to the backcourt or to front court. I think they've definitely, we expect the freshmen, particularly to the sophomores that are going to be sophomores or super freshmen, to take a leap. That's usually the biggest jump. We've already talked about this rotation is already crammed, jam-packed, like more stacked than we've ever had in a long time.
Yep.
In over a decade.
Yeah.
So this is this is going to be a more talented roster than they had last season. And and they were able to replace a like for like player with Bonton, you know, Flowers to Bonton, Bonton to Flowers. So absolutely. Like they're projected 42nd on Bartovic right now for a reason. And they're going to be in the top 50 probably on KenPom, like when his projections come out. So if you're looking at, with what the Pac-12 looks like next year, with a lot of teams that are kind of going to be in like the looking for seedings from 6 to, you know, on the bubble, there's going to be a lot of wins available there. And so, I do believe WSU is one of the better coaches in the league.
Yep.
And I think combine that with what they got. Yes. Yes. Yep. The answer is yes.
Yep. Yep. It's everything you said. I don't have a whole lot to add. They definitely are talented enough to do it. We know that Kyle Smith always outperforms his projections. I suppose anybody could have, a bad season, but you know, teams that are more susceptible to that kind of variance would be, you know, teams that are maybe highly reliant on a particular superstar, and this team is not that, right? Like they are not one injury away from falling apart. You know, this is not WSU without Klay Thompson, you know, in 2009 or whatever, like, or Reggie Moore, right? Like when Reggie Moore went out, it was like, oh man, what are we going to do? Right. And it was hugely problematic for that team. They were just sort of pretty wafer thin, outside of the top couple of guys there. This team, man, they've got, you know, part of it is they've got, you know, 15 guys on their roster right now. So I don't know how that gets taken care of, but because you look at it, you go, man, look, they got depth everywhere. And like I said, part of that is they've got a lot of guys on their roster. But beyond that, they just, you know, you look at pretty much every position and you just don't see a spot where, you know, where one critical injury causes a major problem. Now, if there is a spot, it's probably point guard again, right? And that's only because we don't know what, you know, Jefferson Koulibaly's bringing to the table. You know, we don't know if Miles Rice is coming and what he brings to the table, right? We just kind of don't. We don't really know what that looks like if Flowers is not there, but we do know that, you know, unlike Bonton, and, you know, of course we all love Isaac Bonton, but, you know, for 2 years, he kind of struggled really with nagging injuries. And he was, you know, total warrior, played through all the stuff, but, you know, missed games. And honestly, it seemed more fluky than anything, but it was something that happened. Flowers is a guy who's a workhorse, plays a ton of minutes, doesn't miss games. So, you know, that's obviously not a guarantee. You could always have something happen, but I just think you feel really good about the pieces that you've got and how, even if, you know, so you get some injuries or some curveballs get thrown at you, I think you feel really good about the roster's chance to, you know, to continue to win, especially with, the coaching staff that we've got, which, you know, honestly, I would put up against any staff in the conference for sure. So. It's exciting, man. It's exciting. I think they can do it. And, you know, not that I want to blow through my summer, but I'm excited for basketball season next year.
And Efe Abagidi is also excited for it. He said he can't wait for next season. Tweeted that out today. We agree, Efe. We agree. Yes.
Samesies.
So I'm going to, you know, building off of what we just talked about, I'm going to go back to our guy Brian with his other question, and this is going to be an easy one. Who is building better for the future, Smith, Rolo, or the Mariners?
Well, I know which one's last on that list.
Well, okay. Look, one thing is, first of all, never trust anything the Mariners are doing.
Yes, ever.
All these young players could be something someday. And I'm a big Mariners fan, but that's why I know to never trust anything what's going on. Yes. You know, Jared Kelnick is hitting like 115 right now or 114 or something. You know, I don't know what's going on tonight. I know they gave up a 5-run inning early, so that's all I know.
Yeah. He was on pace for like 80 home runs too at one point.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to hit that. I mean,
you don't think he's no.
But you know, it's I just can't ever believe in a future for the Mariners. I just exist day to day as a Mariners fan. I do not look to the future.
I talk all the time about how I'm a big believer in Occam's razor, right? Like the simplest explanation is the best one. And if you consider the Mariners haven't been in the playoff in 20 damn years, and you look at all the other teams that have been to the playoffs and you go, you know what? If you've haven't been to the playoffs in 20 damn years, it's because you honestly don't care enough to be in the playoffs. And I know that that sounds kind of weird. Like, oh, it's just a matter of caring. It kind of is, you know, it's like, do you care enough to put together a competent organization? Do you care enough to pay the money that needs to be paid when it needs to be paid? Now they've handed out contracts, no doubt about that, but you know, there's just a sort of a thing when, you know, you are stubbing your toe every single year and you're constantly rebuilding every handful of years. Like, you know, I mean, it's probably you, right? It's probably them. It's probably the leadership. And so, you know, there we are and there they are. And so I mean, as long as this ownership owns the team, I have every confidence they will screw everything up. So.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that takes care of that one.
Comes down to Smith or Rolo.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not a fair fight right now.
Like,
not a fair fight right now.
Smith is bringing in top 50 recruit, top 100 yeah. recruits, top yeah. 150 recruits regularly. And also adding experienced pieces that, because if you talk about building for the future, at some point you need to show some success.
Yes.
So I know we want to see the young guys develop, but you're going to have more success bringing more talented players in if you can prove that you're winning a place that can win, place that can send guys to the NBA, whatever. So, yeah, it's got to be Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's.
It's not even a knock against Rollo. It's just Smith.
I mean, we just
doing...
haven't seen anything. We haven't seen anything from him yet, right? Like,
yeah, we Rolovich yeah we
coached
haven't
four like ridiculously
we've seen some,
just
we've seen
like,
some very
whatever games.
Yeah, very some very WSU recruiting classes, like some very like regular WSU recruiting classes.
Yeah,
like it's we haven't I seen mean, anything spectacular on in the recruiting front. No offense to all the kids that have signed, but
yeah, I like what he's doing with transfers. You know, I think so. You know, the idea of maybe going and getting a guy who was you know a pretty highly rated recruit but couldn't break through at a bigger program. You know, you bring him in. You know, maybe that. You know, you find some value there. I'm totally down with that. Like, I think he's doing what he can. We just don't know yet, right? Like, all we've seen is four games in a suboptimal environment. You know, we have no idea. I know we, you know, we have our thoughts that we shared, you know, after the spring game about kind of where we see trouble. You know, the quarterback spot could be a major issue, but, you know, there's just not enough information out there. On Rolovich. But even without that information, I still trust him more than the Mariners. So,
yeah.
And then Kyle Smith, you know, like you said, you know, bringing in a top 50 recruit is just, you know, we've only done that one other time. And that was Tony Bennett. And that was, you know, that was Tony Bennett on the heels of two NCAA tournament appearances. you know, that wasn't Kyle Smith selling the program with, you know, a couple of, you know, okay-ish seasons.
Basketball, yeah. Right? Seven-win
like
conference seasons, yeah.
Like, you know, this coaching staff is unbelievable at selling their vision. I don't know how they're doing it, but it truly is, you know, because that's the only way you convince guys like this, right? Like, you convince them, hey, you know, we're building something special. Every WSU coach in history has tried to convince people of that and has not succeeded. So,
by the way, you know, cheers to Clay yeah. Thompson. Some other service rated Muhammad Gay and dropped him down just a little bit, and Clay is back to the all time best rated
back to number one
in WSU yeah. history. Sorry,
because the
Muhammad
24/7 for people who don't know the 24/7 rating is a composite rating, so they take various services and then come up with a number that reflects kind of a consensus on a player. So yeah, somebody rated Muhammad Gay a little bit lower, and it, he lost his standing as the best recruit ever by a fraction, by a small fraction. So
still well ahead of, Portland State legend, Michael Hartu. So
yes, that is true. That is true. So,
and ahead of San Diego State legend, Xavier Thames. So,
oh yeah,
it's kind of depressing.
Who could forget Xavier Thames?
Yeah. So yeah, Smith.
Yes.
Well, is it my turn or is it your turn?
I don't. Well, it would be my turn, but I don't have any more questions.
Okay. So.
Well, I take.
Oh yeah, because some of these
I do.
Just...
I have more. I have more from Dave. I can go back.
Oh no, you got there's. You see that one from Devin, right?
Nope.
Okay. Maybe you got that guy. Okay, so I got... So, actually, we were talking about Rollo. So,
oh, I do see that. I do
Jeff,
have that. Ah.
Have you seen the new Rollo recruiting video? Like the,
yes.
the take-in?
Yes.
So, thoughts
pretty funny.
On that? It's pretty funny. One thing I will say... There's no fucking way a 17-year-old gets that reference.
I know. Sorry. I'm like,
there's no way.
Maybe they're making that. Maybe they're making that for us.
Because I'm like, know. If you're a 17-year-old, like, this is kind of aggressive, like, and weird. But I will immediately, like, we're like, okay, this is a take. Maybe they've just seen it as a meme, and so they figured it out. Maybe I'm underestimating. Maybe it's on TikTok. I don't know. I don't think they would get it. Also, it was pretty funny. Like, he did a good job.
It was pretty funny.
It was funny.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
So, if you don't want to come to Pullman,
imagine.
We don't want you, but if you want, if you are interested, we will find you.
Yep.
It's pretty good.
Yep. By the way, Scott Cresswell wanted us to talk about politics. Got any thoughts about politics, Craig?
Politics are the activities associated with the governance of a country or other area, especially the debate or conflict among individuals or parties having or hoping to achieve power. That's what I think.
How do you feel about the filibuster, Craig?
What would you say
to Joe Manchin if you could get him on the phone right now?
Is he a football player? Is the filibuster? Is that a special?
It's a new football
formation.
Play.
Like Joe Manchin, I'm looking at the 247 list right now. He's not a
Joe Manchin. Sounds like a Joe Manchin. Sounds like an offensive lineman for Oklahoma. That's what that name sounds like.
Joe Manchin.
That's right. You know,
6'4", 340. Joe Manchin.
Jeez. Built like a brick outhouse.
Offensive tackle. Yeah. Well,
6'4", 340? Yeah, Maybe guard. He might be a guard or a center at that size.
It's a big ass guard. It's a Leechian guard. So
all right. Yeah, that has politics. That's been politics talk on Podcast versus Everyone.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Chris Nasty.
Have fun
in Austin, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else we got?
So I got a from Devin Lewis at Devin Lewis 89.
Yes.
Let's get your answers for who is the best kook currently in each pro sports league. He lists NFL, MLB, NBA, NWSL. I don't think there's kooks in other. We're not obviously going to go into the European basketball leagues and the Australian basketball leagues.
Yes,
that is
true.
Wherever the hell else those guys are playing.
That is
true. But NFL, I guess maybe it's got to be maybe Jalen Thompson at the moment.
Maybe? Yeah? I don't know. That's, hold on. I gotta find out who's still in the league.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember who's all in the league right now. Jalen Thompson's probably.
Oh, by the way, okay,
probably a good guess,
dude. Okay, this is pissing me off. I Googled Cougs in the NFL.
Yep.
Me, who constantly Googles things about Washington State University. Okay, so the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, so the first two results are BYU. The third result is Houston. The fourth result is BYU. The fifth result is BYU. The sixth result is BYU. We have to go down to...
All right.
Six reasons why 2022 could be a banner year for WSU. Seattle Times article. Seventh
okay,
on the list.
So I'm looking at the list. Here are the guys who I think are still in the league. Okay. Dez Patman, Jalen Thompson, Andre Diller, Gardner Minshew, Joe Dahl, and Deon Buchanan. I think that's the list of guys that are still in the NFL. Okay.
Super Bowl champion, Deon Buchanan.
Yes, that's right. So the best of that bunch...
In terms of the impact they had on the field recently, it would be Jalen Thompson.
I guess.
Dillard's been struggling with injuries.
Well, yeah, I mean, Dillard was out like all of last season. Minshew is headed for backup status. in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I guess Minshew would be the other one with Thompson.
Yeah, probably. I mean, Minshew's obviously maybe accomplished more than any of them. So yeah, maybe that's the way to look at it. I mean, he's, you know, he was basically an almost 2-year starter in Jacksonville. So that's, and he wasn't terrible. You know, he was pretty good at times, surrounded by a really awful roster. So,
yes,
you know, and an offensive line that got him murdered every week. So I'd go, you know, I'd go with Minshew probably.
Yeah, that's good. You've convinced me.
I'd go with that.
I do think probably Jalen has the Minshew's potential. If Minshew lands in somewhere good, if someone believes in what he can do, and they actually give him some talent to play with, he could, like, yeah, he'd be pretty good. Jalen might have the highest ceiling of the guys in there now. He's only 22 still. He's already got a couple years under his belt. He played a lot more his second year than he did his first year.
Yeah.
That's a total lie. He played a lot more in his first year, but I think he had some injuries last year. But I don't know. Yeah, maybe Minshew. I'll go with Minshew too. Like, he's definitely most accomplished. If only we had Jalen that one more season.
I know. Doggone it.
But he did in that one season, that when he wasn't playing at WSU, had 57 tackles and a pick in the NFL. So good for him. Yeah. So yeah, let's get more guys in the NFL. Not enough right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird that there's not more given the success we had. Mata'afa, I guess, is in the NFL too. And he's been.
Yeah. Oh, he wasn't on the list because I was only looking at draft picks. Yeah, I was on. And so Frankie Louvu is another one. So he's in. Ekwale, I don't think, is still in. I'm not positive about that, though. So all those guys were undrafted. That's why. I was looking at a list of draft picks. So that's why they weren't. That's why those guys weren't on the list. I was looking at Pro Football Reference.
So Ekwale is still on the Jags, I think.
Okay.
As of now.
Yeah. So, I don't think that really changes the answer, any of those guys.
No. Yeah, I'd like to see Mata'afa get more opportunity. I think he could, you know, he's been kind of a, yeah, he's already 26, man. Jeez.
Yeah, I know. Where does the time go?
Isn't it crazy? He left a year early, and I guess he missed a whole season because he was hurt. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he's already 26, almost 26. He'll be 26 by the time by the second week of the season. Mata'afa and Thompson both have a chance to be very good.
Yeah.
Louvu has definitely impacted, made an impact. That's a great story. Yeah, I guess we'll go for Minshew now. But some guys on the defensive side can ball out. River Craycraft, of course. We can't forget him.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
I definitely wouldn't say
he's still up with the 49ers.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was
good. Man, yeah. So we just bungled our way through that. Congrats, everyone.
Yes, we did.
These were just answering questions unprepared. And apparently we didn't have good enough knowledge just up top of our head. let's see. Do we have any more?
I'm old, man. So I can't, you know, I can't.
So I got one more in the email, but we're not going to do it tonight. We'll do it another day.
We didn't even finish up with the other leagues.
Oh shit. Yeah. We just did NFL,
MLB, NBA, NWSL.
MLB.
Like, so, okay. Again, I'm looking through MLB right now, and I'm like, do we have anybody in Major League Baseball right now? Like, honestly, I'm not sure.
We had the most for so long.
Yeah, is Adam Conley still in the bigs?
Man, he's a Marbet player.
Let's see. Adam Conley is not in the bigs. He last appeared in 2019.
It's getting depressing.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know, man. I don't pay attention to that as much. I'm sure Coug fan could tell us.
Yeah.
Maybe ask those guys.
So Ian Hamilton has not played this year.
Nope. Didn't he get claimed by the Mariners?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's in the Mariners minor league system, I think.
Yeah, I'm looking at a list on Baseball Reference of Washington State University baseball players. And Ian Hamilton is the most recent in 2020. Yep. So the best
and
is no
he's
one.
He's actually with the Twins now, Ian Hamilton.
Is he actually playing?
No. No, he is not. He has not appeared for this year.
The best is minors. No one. The no one is the answer for that one, depressingly.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I don't know. Let me double check. Let me make sure I haven't missed anybody here. I mean, let's see. AJ Block's in the minors.
Well, that was just batting. Let me go to pitching. Pitching's the same.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking down the list. Yeah, I mean, the only two guys who have appeared in the majors are Adam Conley and Ian Hamilton in like the last like 25 years. Todd Bielitz was the last one before them.
Obviously he
went to Wazoo when I went to school.
John Olerud in the last 25 years too.
Yes, but I mean like guys who were drafted like in the last 25 years, I guess what I'm getting after. So who ended up making it to the bigs. So yeah. Yeah, it's not good right now. It's not good right now. But
yeah, Hattie
that's
Bird
all right. That's gonna change.
Your 25 line.
What's that?
Scott Hattieburg almost hits that. And Mark Hendrickson is in there.
Yep. Yeah, they were all in that same area. Rob Ramsey was in that area. Mike Kincaid. Those guys all played when I was in school. So yeah. You know, we will get back there, Craig. We will get back there. Wow. I feel good about what we're doing.
There's a couple guys at least on the team right now that
yeah. Oh, for sure.
There in the next
Oh my god, I'm drawing a total blank, but the first baseman
Manzardo.
Manzardo's going to be, I mean, I can't imagine he's going to last past the first few rounds of the draft. I mean, I'm certainly no baseball draft expert, but he seems like a pretty decent prospect, so.
Seems pretty good.
Yeah, he seems all right. NBA?
NBA. Clay
now,
Thompson.
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't played in 2 years.
Yeah.
So are we saying right
better.
Now? Right
he's
now?
Better. Like,
would you take him or Aaron Baines in a one-on-one matchup right this second?
I bet that Clay Thompson is, how far is he from that injury?
6 months.
More than that.
8 months? Was the beginning of the season. So what was it, October, right? So like 8 months?
He had surgery in November. So.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I think he probably, surgery, you recover faster. I'm 3 months out. I think he probably could still beat Bates just on shooting the ball over his head a lot.
Oh.
I
don't know, man.
Okay, if you want to say right now, because Clay Thompson is not playing, then it's Aaron Baines.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right
we need to get we need,
very moment.
We need to get the Baines, Aaron Baines fan club on this one.
Wait, is Aaron Baines better than Malachi Flynn?
I think so. Do we get to claim Malachi Flynn?
Absolutely, dude. Once a Coug, always a Coug.
I know, but like
he played more at WSU than he did at San Diego State.
It's true. It is true.
Actually, Malachi might be better.
What about Robert Franks? Where does he fit? He's an NBA player right now.
After Malachi, for sure. And those two played on the same shitty WSU team.
I know, it's like Ernie Kent somewhere is sitting on a beach in Mexico going, I had two NBA players and they still don't love me.
So
you're damn right. We don't love you.
Player efficiency rating this past season. Malachi 10.9, Baines 10.5.
Ooh.
Baines played slightly more. So, you know, and they're playing for the same team, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think, like, I might give the edge to Malachi. It's, Baines is 34, man. Like, no offense to him.
It's true.
It's close, though. They're right there.
What about CJ Ellaby?
He's over Robert Franks, I'm going to say.
Yeah. So if we're making our pecking order right now, Clay, Malachi, Aaron Baines, CJ Ellaby, Robert Franks.
So you just listed five WSU players in the NBA at once.
Yes, I did.
And there is not one single player in Major League Baseball.
Yes, that is true.
Which is nuts.
With 25 man rosters and 30
and just
teams,
the histories of the programs. Like,
yep. Yep.
I mean, it's just crazy that there are three Ernie Kent players in the NBA that played for
Three Ernie Kent recruits. Ernie Kent recruited three NBA players. Good God.
And lost a lot of games.
A lot of games. Yeah.
Wow.
NWSL, that one's Morgan Weaver.
Yeah, Weaver or Trinity.
She's got to be above Trinity Rodman right now, yeah?
I don't know, man. Like, Morgan kind of plays... Trinity gets more start. I mean, Morgan is on probably the deepest roster in NWSL. Like, it's a tough roster to break through. Yeah, I'll say Morgan. Yeah, she looks a little more, from what I've seen from her, looks a little more polished, obviously, at the moment. She's still got that pace. Yeah, so go with her. University place, grad. Go Cougs. So Morgan, but also Trinity's right there. And then we'll have a few more. McAmaker Stevens will be in NWSL next year. And who's the Stanford transfer? Avery Collins? Yeah. She's in the NWSL as well, right? Is that right? Jeff is gone. He is gone. Gone, gone. Not even around.
I'm back.
Okay, so what I was saying is...
my headphones just dropped. I couldn't... Like, I could see your, like, little meter going up that I could see you were still talking, but I couldn't hear anything. It was like they kept my headphones cut out. It was weird.
So I was trying to think of other players. Avery Collins is in the NWSL as well.
Yes, that is true.
She is also for the Washington Spirit, so they got a couple.
Yes.
Morgan
Weaver's she's a regular starter for one of the better teams in the league. That's pretty good.
Is she a regular starter? I would say she...
I think so.
Isn't she more of...
Okay, hold on. Let me look. I know she started the game against the Rain. Okay, hold on. I'm trying here.
So there she has go. Started two matches out of the four this year.
Okay. All right. All right. I see that now.
Okay. Yeah.
Two assists. No goals.
So she's got one more assist in the regular season than Trinity. Avery Collins.
And about 60% of the minutes.
So Avery has started, has played 84 minutes in 2020. Trying to look at what she's got here. She has not played this year, so we won't put her up there.
Yes.
Ella Diedrich is playing, is like the third string keeper for the Oil Reign. I think that's the Cougs players right now. But yeah, like I said, Makamega Bear Stevens got drafted. She'll be, and then who else got drafted?
And by the way, Avery Collins is not on Washington's roster this year.
Ah.
So bummer. She may not be playing at all.
Yeah. Or at least not in the NWSL.
Or at least not in the NWSL. Yeah. So. Yep. So yeah, I don't know. That might be, you know, the answer might be Trinity Rodman right now. Might be. She's played more most minutes out of any of them. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then next year, yeah. Okay, Brianna Auger is the other one. Makame and Brianna Auger were both drafted, played this season, and then will hopefully play in the NWSL next season.
Yeah, and we don't, let's see, there's no Cougs in the MLS, as far as I know.
That would be crazy if there
That
was.
Would be weird. That would be strange. But, you know, you never know, I guess.
No Cougs in the NHL.
No Cougs in the NHL, as far as I know. I think that covers our bases, right? On the
Who
on
knows?
The
there
sports.
May be some Cougs in Major League Rugby. I have no idea.
There could be. There could be. I'm not sure. We've got a pretty good rugby program.
I think the best Coug in the Japanese basketball league is Josh Hawkinson.
Definitely Josh Hawkinson.
Yeah, definitely.
And then there's, D'Angelo. He's not Casto anymore. D'Angelo Hamilton. He's playing in Vietnam or something, right? So he's definitely the best Coug in the Vietnamese basketball league. Brock Modem is definitely the best Coug in somewhere in Europe. Not sure where he is now, but you know,
is Taylor Rochester still?
I think he is. Balling? I think he's still playing. Yeah, I think he's still playing in. I think he's playing in Israel, if I remember right.
What?
So
he's actually now a naturalized Montenegrin professional basketball player. So he has
really.
He has. He's a Montenegro citizen.
Really? That's awesome.
That's on his wiki, on his Wikipedia, which I'm guessing his dad updated. But
that's amazing. I wonder why.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Maybe also it represents the senior Montenegrin national basketball team. How about that?
Maybe that's why. Gets to play internationally, no?
Yeah. Anytime I hear of Montenegro, by the way, it's like because I've been teaching for so long and I teach the Great Gatsby over and over again, all I can ever think of is that scene where Jay Gatsby goes, you know, I got this medal from Montenegro. Little Montenegro.
So anyway. I'll say that 100% Rochester, not only the best Coug in the Israeli basketball league, definitely the best Coug on the Montenegro national team.
Yeah.
I'll put that out
I'm
there.
I'm confident I'm not, to say that, yes.
I'm just not even holding back on that one.
Absolutely. I feel confident. I feel confident to say that. Yeah, so he last played this season for...
An Israeli
Servina...
team.
Zvezda MTS.
Oh, okay.
No idea who that is.
I missed that one.
Yeah, he actually played for two different teams this year. He started with a team in the Israeli Super League.
Oh, okay.
Hapoel Haifa. I don't know. I'm sure I butchered that. And then he moved to a different team. Moved to a different team later. So, yeah. There you go.
Oh, man.
That... The more you know.
Why couldn't you pronounce this other one, Jeff?
the one that he's playing on right now?
It's full of consonants.
There's only, I think, about four vowels out of the 26 letters. So, yeah. But, yeah, it does appear that Taylor's career is winding down at 35. It does appear that way.
Look, he started with Galatasaray.
Yes.
Who, that is the team that, in soccer that Yedlin is playing for now, right?
Yeah. So what you get in Europe is, you know, you got these clubs that, you know, they do multiple teams, right? Basketball teams, soccer teams, you know, like they women's teams, men's teams, basketball teams, like cricket teams. Like, honestly, they'll like do
sports clubs.
Yeah, they're legitimate sports clubs. They sponsor all these different teams. Like, in fact, a thing that I learned about German football soccer teams is that, you know, like a lot of the teams that are like VFB, right? What that does is that describes what sport they're playing. Like a lot of those like abbreviations that come in front of their club names. Like that's what those are. I was like, oh, I had no idea what those were, because like, you know, these clubs, you had to distinguish which sport you were playing, because they would sponsor multiple sports. So there you go. The more you know about European club sports.
And dun, dun, Dortmund, the more you know. Dortmund is starting women's soccer team.
Yeah.
So I told Bea that one day she could represent BVB. She was pretty excited about that.
Yeah, I'm sure she was.
I think that's all the questions we got, but that definitely filled up quite a bit
of
our
show. That was awesome.
Show.
I actually had fun with that. We should do that again.
Yeah.
We should do that again.
Yeah. Did you have a good beer tonight, or?
I did not have any beer tonight because I was afraid it would put me to sleep. And I need to mix the episode tonight before I go to bed. So, and I gotta do school planning in the morning. So I was kind of
like, almost
done
with that.
Yeah, oh, so close to being done.
I had some friends went to Montana. They brought me back a beer from Kettle House Brewing, which is kind of one of the Montana stalwart craft beers.
Yep.
They're most famous for Cold Smoke, the Scotch Ale.
Yep.
Pretty tasty.
It.
Yep. So I'm having a whiskey barrel aged white stout. Yeah. And you know what, Jeff? Fuck this. Let's end it.
Yeah. Well, if I do my job right, nobody will know that we are now on like our third different recording here.
Yeah, but they need to know that.
It's about time to call it quits.
We are tapping out for a reason. It's time to stop.
Yeah.
The podcast gods have told us that we are done.
But we cannot stop. We cannot stop without fully recognizing Washington State University as Apple Cup Challenge Series Boeing champions. Thanks to baseball.
Of course. Of course.
Because we are the Boeing Apple Cup Series Challenge champion people.
Yes, we are. Suck it. Also,
but in all seriousness, it is awesome that baseball took 2 out of 3 from Washington. Because that's two programs heading in opposite directions.
What is with that scoring system?
Yeah, you get points for winning and you get points for losing.
So, like, for example, just the one I remember off the top of my head is you get 50 points in football for winning, 25 for losing. Why isn't it 25 for winning and 0 for losing? What?
I know.
Why do, like, what is the point of having the losing points? Just take the difference of that and have that be the winning points.
I actually gave some thought to this. I mean, in this system, a football loss is worth more than a win in almost every sport. Like,
But I'm trying to consider that it also gives an extra 25 points.
I mean, I guess like the only thing I could think of was that it was like, so for people who don't know what we're talking about, like the scoring system for this Boeing Cup Challenge Series thing is like, you know, it's a sliding scale. Some sports are worth more than others. Yeah. Football's worth the most, right? And then, like, down to, like, you know, tennis is worth, like, I think the least or something.
Let me hesitantly open up Slack and hope it doesn't destroy everything. Okay.
Right.
It's going. It's fine. It's
kind of crazy. But you get points both for winning and for losing. And the points for winning are just double the points that you get for losing.
So basketball 30-15. For both sports, volleyball 30-15 as well, 30-15, 20-10. So why isn't it 25 points to win football, 15 points to win basketball, 15 points to win volleyball, 10 points to win soccer, 10 points to win baseball, 5 points to win crew, tennis, track and field?
Is it just like, to make it look not as bad if one side dominates the other?
Yeah, but like, now that I know... Idea? Now that I know, it's just, I think it is, because it makes the points look more, I guess. It's just weird.
Yeah.
Like, WSU won 190 to 185 instead of winning, like, you know, 100 to 95. I don't know. Like,
right.
It's weird. But, you know... It functions the same way as just awarding all the points to whoever. I am confused. What did they not play in volleyball? Oh, that's right, because they were it was COVID
canceled.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we kind of UW definitely like volleyball. Their team that would have been a tough game for WSU.
Football. Benefited
football,
from
football. Football, we definitely. It was our fault it was canceled. So, but you know what? Apple Cup Series champs.
Hey,
suck it.
You cannot suck it. You cannot argue with stats.
190 to 185.
That's right.
WSU. I do love that it came down to like the baseball team at the end.
Yeah.
Just being clinching it. That was great.
Yep.
I'm all on board with this Apple Cup series now. Like it's
It's definitely not like a fluky, weird, gimmicky thing. It's definitely very serious and super important.
Yes. It's very important. Because we won. It's important because we won.
Correct. That's exactly. That's exactly
so. Right. Go Cougs. I want to plug a couple. Jeff and I have been, we have been doing our podcast. We've been doing other people's podcasts.
Yeah.
I think I plugged it. I was on the Chase Thomas podcast. Actually,
yep, you did plug it last time we
bigger,
were on.
Yeah, so that one, if you want to hear about WSU football, same for the Blue Bloods podcast. I was on that one. That guy's an Auburn fan, so we talked a little bit about when WSU played Auburn. That was fun. In both these podcasts, I called out Tennessee fans because they're both SEC fans that were interviewing me. So I called out Tennessee fans for being shitheads to Jared Garantano. I also blew both their minds by saying that I did not think that he was going to start. Although I'll give credit to the Auburn guy. He was loving Jaden Delora. So he obviously actually watched WSU. So I gave him credit for that. But that was the Blue Bloods guy. That was a fun interview. The Chase Thomas one was fun too. So check those out. Jeff, you were on a podcast too, right?
Yeah, I was on with the Quack 12 guys. So that was fun. Those guys are cool. I've been on their show each summer the last few years. They do their homework. They know their stuff. So yeah, it's a fun conversation. It's always interesting to talk to somebody else about their perception of your players and your roster. So So cool. That's a fun one to listen to. I think I'm getting on somebody else's podcast this week or next week too. I don't even know which one, but he emailed me. I'm like, sure, I'll help you out. Sure.
Yeah. I always like, I do kind of like a little bit of cursory search to make sure they don't say any like really shitty stuff online.
Yeah.
Before I agree to the podcast, that's basically my only thing.
That's a good idea. I should do that.
You better not be like a terrible human. And so I do that.
You're like searching up and you're like, oh, they're Q.
Yeah.
thanks. Maybe I don't want to do this.
Yeah, they got like a Pepe the Frog. Oh, no. They got a Pepe the Frog Abby. Yeah. Like, oh no, yeah. Maybe not. No, like, no, but you know, I did. Neither of the guys that have interviewed me were
good
that way, as far as I know. And as long as I don't know, I'm fine with that. Yeah. So follow me on Twitter at the Craig Powers. Yeah. Follow Jeff at Pod Versus Everyone.
Yep.
Email us if you have questions. podcastversuseveryone@gmail.com. Questions, topics to talk about, especially during the summer. Yeah. We'd love to have some help designing t-shirts if you want to help us with that.
Yeah.
We'll give you some of the money from if we sell them. So
yeah, I think so.
That'd be cool. Because you know, our friend that made the podcast, you know, the podcast song,
yeah,
Randy England, we didn't give him shit.
I sent him
a bunch of beer I'm combining multiple breweries in Nashville from Southern Grist. I sent him a bunch of beer from Southern Grist.
That's better than money, let's be honest.
Yeah,
that's better than money.
Yeah. So Randy England Music. Yeah, he's the one that makes all of our music on here. So
yeah,
give him a follow on Instagram. I believe it's Randy England Music, as you think it's spelled. So yeah, that's everything. And with that, to celebrate our Apple Cup Series champions, I'm going to say go Cougs.
Go Cougs, Craig. Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter.